Father, we thank you for this time to hear your word. We receive instruction and direction in these services. Oh, we thank you, Father, because our minds are open to walk in your plans and purposes and pursue them correctly in Jesus' name. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou art created all things, and for thy pleasure, or for your will, they are and were created. Now, we've said it many times in this series that it is not strange to do the will of God. It's not unnatural for a man who is born of, as John 3:3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And then kingdom of God, and 5:6-7, born of water, that is the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say to you, that you must be born again. Then he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound, but you don't know where it's coming from, neither can you tell where it's going forth. He says, so is everyone that is born of the spirit. So we are born of the spirit of God. In other words, it's not unnatural for us to do God's will, because we have the very nature of God's children. We came from Him. We have His DNA. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. The word seed there is the word sperma. Same thing in 1 John 3:9. It says, whatever is born of God doesn't commit sin or does not sin, because the seed of God, the word sperma, abides in Him. That's what's proper. So it's natural for us to do the will of God. Say, it's natural for me. Say like me. Say, it's natural for me to do the will of God. It's unnatural for me not to do the will of God. Amen. You say that quite often, that it's natural for you to do the will of God. So we're born of the Spirit of God. Now I want to address something today. We're looking at plans, purposes, and purposes. I want to look at the word, what is the will of God? You know, we say it oftentimes. We say, when a lady, most of the time, people don't ask that question except marriage. When a lady says, I found a brother. And then you say, I found a brother. And then they say, well, the first thing is he a Christian? You know, though today we have political Christian. It is always a Christian because he has a Christian name. But you say, is he a Christian? You say, yes. Next question is he born again? Is he a born again Christian? Say, he's a born again Christian. What church does he attend? Then you say, well, you just mentioned the church, and he said, where is he? And they're around. And then he said, alright, how is his spiritual life? Is he a fervent Christian? He said, he goes to church regularly. He loves his pastor. And then you say, well, then I guess the next question is, you know, everybody said, have you prayed about it? And he said, well, I'm praying about it. Is he the will of God for your life? In fact, back then, not too long, when I say back then, it's just a few years ago, we used to call a sister who you have prayed about and probably has seen, or she has seen you. We used to call her and say, oh, that is the will of God. That's how, so where is the will of God? You point to the sister, say, oh, that's the will of God, and she also points to you as the will of God. So the will of God becomes two wills in one. Now, when we ask those questions, is it the will of God? Most of the time, like I said, it's always, a friend of mine used to say that many people never have a single contact with the supernatural except they want to marry. I think it's really true. So, is it the will of God? So what is the will of God? I think we need to really ask what the will of God is. And oftentimes, the will of God to many people is one mysterious thought in the mind of God that you need to dig in with holes and machetes to get it out. So I want to find out the will of God right now. You know, pow, 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 pow. So we begin to search and search and search the will of God. I will never forget the experience I had over 20 years ago when I was praying about something. And I was fasting about it. I mean, that experience changed my whole perception about God. That is not as difficult as we think. Now, let's go to the Bible. I'm going to get back to that experience, because if I say it quickly, I won't be able to explain what I want to explain. John 4:34. And I said, okay, let me quickly explain it. So, I was praying and fasting, which is good spiritual exercise. If you're praying and fasting, everybody likes it. In fact, you look very, very spiritual. And many people don't know, sometimes you're praying and fasting, and you didn't have to pray and fast. Because that praying and fasting is getting you worse. And I'm praying and fasting, and I'm praying and fasting for the wrong reason. Okay? So I'm praying and fasting, I'm going 21 days, and I'm feeling good about it. And I'm going on until one day, I read in the Word that I had what I was praying about. You know, that just makes me look silly. You know, I would have used those days to pray about something else. Not that praying for that long is wrong, but I'm praying for something else. If I prayed for something else, then I'll have made use of that time. I hope you get my point. Sometimes you're going to do evangelism, and you know, sometimes while some of us get it, we get it difficult, it's what we're talking about. I took some guys out years back, and we took them on boss evangelism. So you preach, and I'll be in the boss. Okay, so I said, preach, and someone wants to start, and they start singing. Now, naturally, if you want to preach to me, you start singing, I'm put off. I may not like singing. Yeah, good morning, and you see, you sing it. Some do that. So my team got there, and they said, praise the Lord. And I'm wondering, if I'm in the bus, say, praise the Lord. I say, hallelujah. He say, you know, I just want to tell you a story. A story about man. There was a man that God created. His name is Adam. And then he was in the garden. God says, don't eat the garden. Then he spent so long a time. And you say, well, you didn't have to go that route. Though you did, though you eventually got your result, but you could have used the same time to do other things and gotten that result and other result. I hope you get my point. Because you just didn't know what to do. Praise God. When I first learned how to demonstrate the Spirit, I was so overwhelmed by, I lay hands on people and they fall down. I used to like it. So, wow, I'm feeling good. And it won't mean 2 hours. Then one day I thought to myself, was that the power of God? I said, yes. Was that all he could have done in the meeting? Nah, I said, not really. So I began to use the same demonstration of the Spirit. Yeah, utterances, amen. Began to teach, to minister to the sick and people's needs, and also have demonstration of the Spirit in that dimension of people, you know, all the not too gentle kind of thing. I learned better. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, sometimes we just waste time. And I spent those days praying, and I saw in the scripture what I was praying for. I said, oh, I was silly. Because I just didn't pay attention. If you pay attention, you will probably not be making some prayer points that you should be making. Hallelujah. You get my point? I should say this. John 4:34, Jesus was so clear. You know, like it's not difficult to know what the will of God is. He said, now, you know, this is not the kind of scripture you want to quote every time, particularly when you're hungry. He said, my meat, that's food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his will. No, his work. So doing the will of God is work. Alright, listen up. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus is specific. And he says, and to finish it. Now in John 17:3, he says, I have finished 4, sorry, have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. I have finished it. Now that word will of God is a simple Greek word. It's the word thelema. T-H-E-L-E-M-A. It refers to someone's intention. Now the way thelema is, now what I normally do, I do a background check on words. It helps me locate it because I know that sometimes the I know by God's grace. What was Brother Higgins translated? He had Faith Bible what year? Now I'm just thinking loud. Now what I do often, I get background check of words, because most of those dictionaries, my vines, they just carry it straight from the Greek Bible. And sometimes they lose what those words mean, because I know the words were being used before Paul used them. So in other words, Paul used them the way they were used. I hope you get the point. Alright, so the word thelema had to do with something. Now, the first thing about thelema is something that is... Alright? A plan. It's used for building. When you set out a building. You want to have a building and you have a plan, like a design. You say, I want to... Because, you know, every car has a design. A friend of mine, he has a car. The car is a Mercedes-Benz. You know, you have Mercedes and Mercedes. You know that? You don't know that? What do you know? Mercedes-Benz. And I said, man, the car is a C-class. The body is C-class. Inside is S-class. And then the engine has a G-class motor. So I'm saying, how in the world did you do this? He laughed. The thing is sensitive. You cannot stop that car if he doesn't. Okay, let me give you details. I mean, that car is a widow. Good car. Amen. Get inside it. You speak in tongues. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm getting kind of right. Yeah, you speak in tongues in buses. You speak in tongues in cars. Same thing. You get interpretation. You know? So he says that he went online. I never knew it. So you go on Mercedes-Benz site and you tell them what you want. So you design the car for yourself. And then someone else, this is just by the way, another friend said, I've done it before, but he didn't buy it. You know what that means. He knew about it, but he didn't buy it because he didn't have the money. Alright, so he said he designed it. So he showed me the design, said, I put this there, and he put it down there, and they said, well, is it possible? They gave it back to you, it's possible. Then they tell you, well, what's the extra? So he said, for this, and he began to mention it, some course he didn't withdraw. He said, well, for everything I made, this one I had at $20,000. I said, well, minus the purchase of the car, I had about $85,000 to $90,000 extra. And everybody said, oh, okay. So it's not just about going on the website. No, it's not just about going. You go on the website and go to your account. All right. So now he said, there's a design. Then that design, he gives it to them, and then they go, okay, this is what you want. And so they begin to build, okay? They begin to build, the car according to the pattern that he gave. So thelema is a design, a pattern given to you. This is how it should be. So it's written, it's something that like a work plan. So when he says the will of God, it's a work plan. I know you have a work plan. You've seen a work plan before. You want to take care of a building. Maybe you want to do cleaning services. So this is the work plan. We first start with the master's bedroom. We go to this one. We go to that one. That's a work plan. Now, before anything is done, it's in the mind, but it's put down somewhere. We all look at it. We all, you know, draw the maps, the graph of the house or the map, sorry. And say, we'll go like this. We'll go like this. You know, stuff like that. And that's a work plan. Okay? Now, that's what thelema is. My meat is to do the work plan. That means he had a plan. Okay? The plan was with him, thelema. It's the same thing in Hebrews 10 when he says, I come, verse 6, to do thy will. Notice he said, I come in the volume of the book, verse 7. To do the, it is written of me to do thy will. It goes, it explains thelema. A desire, but not something hidden, something written. Listen carefully now. Something, you know, Jesus came to do what is written. I don't know if you know that. Let me see your hand. Come on. Jesus came to do what is what? Written. Jesus didn't come to do something that was hidden, in the sense of it wasn't written anywhere. It was actually written. He came to fulfill scripture. Luke 24:25-27. O fool, slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ, who have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory, beginning from Moses, and all the prophets? He expounded them the things concerning himself. Alright? From the scriptures. In other words, written. This is written. So, the first thing about the will of God, and you didn't know that, is written. It's written. Something that is written. Okay? So, the will of God is written in the Word. So, when Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, he said, my will is to do the word. To do the scriptures. When I have finished the work, you know that same word in John 19:30, it's finished. I have fulfilled the requirement, what I should do in the written word, same word. So when we ask, is it the will of God? Primarily what we're saying is it written? Amen. Praise the Lord. Is it written? Okay? So, in Colossians 1, verse 9 to 11, if you observe the prayer, and I want to give you, just do this yourself, look at the Colossian prayer. It looks like Paul framed the words differently. In Colossians 1, 9 to 11, and Ephesians 1, 17 to 22. He says, for this cause, since we did, we heard it, we did not pray, since we pray for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice what he uses. He uses the word knowledge twice. Epignosis. Precise knowledge. Always used for what Christ had done. Full knowledge of the Son of God, Ephesians 4:13. It's always used for what Christ has done. It's never used for a secret mystic knowledge. It's always a precise understanding of the plan, what Christ came to accomplish. Someone out there? Are you out there? The eyes of his understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling. He explains it. You see, the words were just framed differently, but Paul's prayer in Colossians 1:9-11 and Ephesians 1:18-19 is the same thing. Ephesians 1 was just specific. He went into the specific details. He said, when he raised him from the dead, he set him at his own right in the heaven place, far above all principalities and power, might, and dominion, having that name, only rule, but strong, all his all this was his body, the fullness of him that filled all, verse 23. He is specific. 19. He says, the extent of greater power was not to believe, according to the word of the Messiah, which was raised from the dead. So, 19. He is specific. However, he tells you exactly what, just the same way, Philemon 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledge, same word, of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. Okay? So, he is being specific. He's specific. Don't forget the word Thelema. It has to do with a walk plan. With a walk plan. Sometimes you give a Thelema to your, maybe say, your builder, and he come back and say, what is this doing here? And the guy says, I just said, no, you can't decide to change the toilet and put it in the middle of the sitting room. I think that's how they do it in my village. You say, hey, you know what? You say, see the work plan. Now, if you do contracts, I do contracts. If you do contracts, and they give you what they call, they give you the bills of quantity, then one more thing, I forgot that. Not a blueprint, this is a word, a particular word, huh? What do you call it? Bill over an engineer. Thank you very much. There's one more thing. There's one more thing. And they give it to you. They pay you as you build according to their pattern. You don't say, well, I just was led. It's all right. You'll be led to collect your money elsewhere. All right. So that means that a thelema doesn't mean the one that the thelema is for will do it. Come on. Are you clear? So the will of God is never automatic. The will of God is not fatalism. If God wills something, it must happen. No. That's not true. That's why you have to be filled with the knowledge of his will. If God's will will happen without you, then you don't have to know about it. Come on. Is all listening? Now you know about it so that you can walk in it. So the will of God here is clear, alright? It says the will of God. Okay? Now the will of God is clear. If you look at the Bible and you look at what Jesus said, the will of God, and Paul was clear about it, he says, it's the will, that all men be saved. How many of you know that is the clearest expression of God's will in the earth? How many of you know that quickly? Let me see. If you want to know, the will of God, the clearest expression of the will of God in the earth is that all men be saved. How many of you know that? You know, you don't have to pray about that. You know that. If somebody wakes you up tomorrow morning and he says, and he wakes you up, hello? So I'm going to do a funny job. You know how to? Fine. And he says, she is the will of God for you. Now, no, this is not prophecy. It's just, you don't take me literally. I'm just cool. I'm just saying something. You can say, what do you mean? You can say, or you just say, well, I'm sorry, I have a sister in somewhere. You know, and she's been my sister in the Lord, you know. Well, but if someone walks up to you and says, God doesn't want so and so to be saved, you will say, what? Never. See, that's a lie. There was a movie by Mount Zion Ministries. You know, they've changed now, the old Mount Zion Ministries. And this fellow, he's a wicked man. He beats up this evangelist. He chases him away. Then one day, he's thrown the evangelist to dogs. And he's thinking, he wants to repent. So he's thinking, what I've done is wrong. So I want to repent. I want to believe in Jesus. And the angel said, you can't do it again. He said, the time is over. Now the guy's in earth. He said, the time is over. Now, myself and my friend, we confronted the director of that movie. And we said, that was trash, sir. That's nonsense. That's from Sinai, not from Zion. 1995. I was still a Christian then. So you know exactly what the will of God is. Amen. What Christ came to do, and what Christ has done, and what Christ has done, that's the will of God. The will of God is not a mystic knowledge. No, the will of God is clear, it's written, you can see it's a walk plan, alright, walk plan. Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to destroy, Luke 9, 56, but to save men's lives. Now, tells Jesus, he said that, and he's stepping up into glory, and he's risen from the dead, he's talking to his disciples, and his last words weren't ambiguous. How do you know that? His last words were so precise that you could capture it simply. He says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, Matthew 28, and go ye therefore, he says, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I know you know what that means, where that should not be. He says, teaching men to observe the things I have commanded you, lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. It wasn't ambiguous. In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. In Matthew, John 20, 20-23, as the Father has sent, so I send you. So whatsoever sins you remit, I remit it unto them. Whatever sins that you retain, I retain unto them. Luke's Gospel 24:47. It says, therefore in my name shall remission, so repentance and forgiveness of sins be preached in all nations. Acts 1:8. It says, you shall receive power with the Holy Ghost to come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Someone told me one day, he said, that's only, God only sent the apostles. I said, which of them preached to you? Isn't that simple? Unapplicable truth. Alright, so it's so unambiguous that we can all safely say that the entire book of Acts and the epistles were built on those simple instructions. Everybody built what they were doing around those simple instructions. See, are there? Are you there? Oftentimes we don't realize that the will of God comes in a simple instruction. Written, you can see it. So, The whole book of Acts and the epistles were built on those clear, precise, and concise instructions. Go preach, go teach, go. It's so clear. Jesus' last words. So it's not difficult to also know that service is the will of God. Service. Service what? Now, Ephesians 4:11. It gave some apostles, some evangelists, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come. Now, notice the 12. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The way the Greek slant puts it like, the slant in the Greek puts it like it says, for the perfecting of the saints in view of the work of the ministry, which is the edifying of the body of Christ. So either way you look at it, the will of God has to do with what God wants you to do for others. Someone out there? Are you following what I'm saying here? You see, it's a work plan. It's a work plan that has to do with what Jesus did. It's a work plan. So, notice what I said. I wrote something here. I said, you can safely build your plans around reaching the unsaved and edifying the church, and you will be in the will of God. I'll take that again. You can safely build your plans. You start out saying, I want to plan my career. I want to plan where I'm going to live. I want to plan who to marry. I want to plan who not to marry, because you have to plan that too. I want to plan where to go to. I want to plan which club to support. That's very vital too. I want to plan. You're going to quote me every time. Don't quote me every time. I didn't quote scripture. I want to plan this. You can safely plan with those simple truths. I call it, start with the known to the unknown. Start with the known to the unknown. Now, the unknown will be the specific details. But you see, the specific details will now be, oh, let's go, what color do we use in the bathroom? Do we do this one? Those are specific details. But there's a work plan, and that work plan is clear enough that I can build my life on what is so clear. So clear. If I can stick with the known, I can take care of the unknown. I've never tried to bother myself about some unnecessary specific details. You can't have details of every day of your life. And many of us sit down listening to voices, we're writing things about the years to come. In 2000, it's all failed you, hasn't it? Doesn't work because you're trying to do stargazing. You stick with what is known. So clear. So you can build your plans on what is clear. And you will be in the will of God. Brother Hagin used to say this. He said it. He said it before, and he didn't get. It wasn't clear. You know, somebody said something. You register until he says it in another way. So he said in the year 2000. Remember, it was a Winter Bible Seminar. He said, "Any church." This is how I put it. And I said, "Wow, it's true." So any church that is into evangelism and discipleship is in the center of God's will. Say they haven't missed it at all. And I'm thinking, you know, what he said is so simple. And I said, you know, it's so simple. You know, as a local church, we could say, let's plan for the next 6 months. And we're planning on evangelism and discipleship. And we'll have to say, is it the will of God? But you know, should we have a building? Should we do this one? You know, we're going to be racking our mind because should we do it now? Should we do this one now? We're going to have. But if we just say, let's go out and reach the lost. Let's just lay hands on the sick. Let's ensure we take the gospel to people. You know, no matter how we do it, we're still in the will of God. I don't see how you follow what I'm saying. It's not difficult. You don't have to start saying, oh, I'm praying about it. Should I pray about it? You know, someone say, let me pray whether it is right to go on evangelist. Well, you need to pray whether you're born again. I'm not sure you're saved. That's the wrong kind of prayer. So, you can build your life quickly on what is written. So, you start with what is known before the unknown. I see some folks come to me and the next thing they want to tell me is, oh, sir, when I was young, I had this spectacular occasion. And I need to tell people that many people see angels, see Jesus and heavenly beings. Some of them are in hell. You see, seeing beings and heavenly beings really, really doesn't mean, did I say beings? Look like beings, you know. Doesn't really mean anything. Oh, I see, you know, I saw this angel when I was young. And yeah, I'm young. I had something today, I said, well, a guy said, he went to Kenneth Hagin meetings. When he said it, I was thinking about it. So he said he went to Tulsa, and then he sat on Brother Higgins' seat. And as he said, a spirit came into him. I've heard that story. Now, I know he read someone's book who said that same thing. I'm not quoting anybody. So he said, that spirit came in him. You know, the spirit, and I said, so what did the spirit say? He said, the spirit said, I have given you a ministry greater than this man. And I asked a question. This is the question I asked. I said, was Brother Higgins' ministry great? He said, was it not great? I said, I'm asking. Because I thought we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. How come God's already telling you something is great? When Robert Layton came, and he said, God told him to investigate the lives of God's generals. I said, you know, God has generals? I said, God, you. He forgot that those were slangs God doesn't use. Robert Layton. He said, God said he should investigate the lives of generals, and where they succeeded, where they failed. I said, you know, Robert Layton has so many things going for him. You know, he was the one who saw heaven and he saw body parts and stuff like that. Childhood fantasy. So, I said, he sees different stuff. You know, you face your life. God can ask you to study people's mistakes. The New Testament doesn't find fault. Amen. I think that's written. And it's so clear. I like what is written. What about you? It's so clear. Alright. What was I? So I told the fellow, I said, well, Brother Higgin, so the spirit of Brother Higgin came into you. Spirit of Brother Higgin. I said, say, sure, well, I'll give you another comforter. He'll be with you forever, right? Yeah. People just like mysterious things. Then you ask the kind of fellow, I said, what house did you go to evangelism? He said, I'm waiting for God to speak to me. You see your problem? You deal with the clear things. Alright? You deal with the clear things. You start from the known to the unknown. Don't wait for one day you're about to fly on your head. You don't need to be deceived. The will of God is written. What about that? What about that? You don't have to pray when someone proposes to you. You look at him. Don't you let him pray about it. I wrote some stuff here. You want to hear? Okay, I don't know. Nothing crazy, just don't pray beyond the written word. You know, it doesn't make sense. Don't pray beyond the written word. He still comes to you and he says, oh, well, I say, are you a Christian? He says, well, I'm trying. What are you praying about? Oh, you like his car. You like where she's coming from. Where is God? I was talking to someone. And he was telling me, he's married to one of the richest young babes in the whole of the country. This girl is so rich. She doesn't go to the office. She's just a laptop. She controls billions of dollars. Just a laptop. The guy said, well, you know, I used to be a very serious Christian. I used to be very command. Wait to say, one day, he's a rich guy, you know, he's one of his utility vehicles is a G-Wagon. He's a young man. You know, but probably my younger brother think he makes a look younger than him. Yeah, you know, he's very fervent, you know. And then, I didn't know what to say. He's already a Christian. No evangelism. Alright, so the friend tells me, he said, well, you know, he never used to drink till he met her. Never used to drink. Because that day, I thought she met him. Then she started drinking. She's a greater disciple. He's a greater disciple. He needs smoking. He needs, And the friend told me, he said, she changed his life forever.
And when he was talking to me, he wasn't talking about the drink. He was talking about the money. But I didn't see the money. I said, she changed his life forever. He's influenced by me. Because he wanted money. Amen. It is all the time that is a man, the woman marries a man for his money. Depends on which culture you belong. Sometimes a man marries a woman for her money. I've seen in a family that the man changed his name to the wife's name. So he will bear the wife's name and say, my maiden name is. No, I'm not joking now. I'm talking about a popular family now. I don't have to give out details. I don't want problems, you know. I'm staying out of politics, you know. But the truth is, he had to change his name to his wife's name. So he is me. Don't pray beyond the written word. Don't confuse your mind. Don't pray beyond the written word. Praise God. Don't pick a prayer point beyond the written word. If your written word says this, don't say, God, what do you want me to do? If you just stick to Mark 16, Matthew 28, Luke 24, you'll be doing it. Say, what do you want me to do? Lord, show me, your way that I may walk with you. Show me your way. You pray, you say, my soul. You look for the trouble. My soul.
Come up, Isaac.
You were looking for trouble. Praise God. My soul. I love you. Imagine. Jesus, all Jesus was saying in the vision is, I love you. Have you seen him talk to Paul? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Go, so we told you what you should do. He is Lord. He said, I love you. The guy says, Jesus began to hug him and say, I've missed you. There's some crazy Jesuses out in the air today. Crazy Jesuses. But you were looking for the trouble. Then you find one, sweet 16. Where your wife just comes to you in the vision. Say, how are you? I was sent from the Father to talk to you. We have a mission for you. You were looking for trouble. So don't pray beyond the written word. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I hope I'm making sense.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Look at most people who go to prayer mountains. They already don't carry their Bibles.
I've been there, you know.
Don't ask. Don't ask beyond what is written, you know. Just stick to God. You just beyond what is written.
Hallelujah.
Don't act beyond what is written. Just don't bother acting. That's two words for me. Number three, do not plan beyond what is written. Now let me say something quickly to you. And I know some of you don't like to hear things like this, but it's the truth. Look up, accept some facts about yourself. And I always accept it. You don't know tomorrow. Are you trying to think like that? I think I taught that last year. I taught that last year, right? Was it last year or 2 years ago? No, that's the last year because we were here just last year. What, remember that? You don't know tomorrow. Just understand that simple fact about you. I'm not saying you cannot plan for tomorrow. I'm not saying you cannot make a decision against tomorrow. You can. But always know that your knowledge is limited. Always know that. So it's best you stick to the word. And God gave his word that covers time and eternity. Are you clear about that? Are you clear about that? So if I'm acting on the word, I'm acting beyond this day, is into time and into eternity. Does that make sense? I tell you the story, guys. I tell you how I wrote plans, a 20-year plan. Did I tell you? And then, remember, I was to take a bus at Ojota, and then I didn't find it again. He didn't take my money, he just took the diary. And I said, thank you, Father, at the end of the day. Because I wrote the plan of my life there. Things I had to do. Some of you have some books like that. You worship it. You do devotion with it. You don't study your Bible, just read the book. Thank you, Father. 2016. I'll be in a church for 6 years to just receive training for the ministry he has given me. That ministry is an apostolic ministry. So I need the word. When I first go to the ministry where they teach the word, I will now learn the word. It's for this ministry. I'll be the word. When I now go to another prophetic ministry for 4 years, 2016, 2018, for 2 years. Then I'll go and learn evangelism for that bunker. I'll travel to Germany. 2 years. After that one, I'll come back now and say redeem because I want to plant all over the world. 4 years in redeem. Then after the Lord has done all that, then I will now stand. Then I will now be preaching small on radio. I will be doing it on Tuesday evening. And when I'm done... Oh, I've written stuff like that before. Amen. Right now, I don't write plans. I plan per day, per week. Because that's how life is. Praise the Lord. I make my choices for eternity. I know what I'll never do. I know what I'm going to do. But you see, details and specifics sometimes elude you, and you need to realize that and accept it. So just act on the word. Don't plan beyond the written word. Does that make sense? Oh, good. So you don't pray beyond the word. You don't act beyond the word. When I want to pray, I pray to understand the word so that I can walk in it. I pray to understand the word so that I can walk in it. I pray to understand the word so that I can walk in it. Now, Brother Hagin gave this counsel, and I remember he said he prayed the Pauline prayer over 1,000 times just one night. And I said to myself, I'm going to pray the Pauline prayers. I pray the Pauline prayers every day. I can't remember a day I've never prayed the Pauline prayers since 1998, August 14th. I can't remember, 1994, sorry, August 14th. I can't remember a day, I could have missed some days, I'm sure I could have, I'm human, but I can't remember a day so much that I missed it. I pray the Pauline prayers so often, because those were the Spirit-inspired prayers. Many people have prayer points, but not the Pauline prayers. Remember, I went to a church. You know, I wasn't a pastor for a long time, for a period of time, so I used to travel around. So I got to this church, and I'm a first timer. Been first timer in many places. So I was a first timer, and they say, write your prayer points. Seen that kind of stuff before? Write your prayer points. So I got the prayer point, and I wrote Ephesians 1, 17 to 22. I wrote Colossians 1, 19, 22, sorry. Colossians 1, 9 to 11. And then I give it to the first time a person said, hey, are you a news convert? I said, prayer point, not scripture. Please give prayer point. And she didn't get the point. So I felt, oh, this is an embarrassment to the body of Christ. I just gave you prayer points. Do you understand? You know, people have so much disdain for the written word, they don't know that God gave us his own prayer points. He has things you should pray for. If you can pray those prayer points, you will stay at the center of God's will. If you can pray the prayer. Colossians 1, 9 to 11. If you can pray. Most of the kind of prayers we want to pray are selfish. Selfish prayers. Sometimes we want to convert someone to our husband and someone else to our wife. Say, I receive him, I conceive him, I perceive him, I receive him. He is dominated. He's mine. Mine. Yes, mine. I remember a dear brother. We went for a meeting and he goes around. There was this nice car. Alright, lovely car, I don't remember the car now. A nice car, he said, mine, it's mine, it's mine. Hey, hold on. He just had a prosperity message from one convention, Holy Ghost convention in the battle. So he said, it's mine, it's mine. And one woman came out. He said, are you mad? He was really an embarrassment. Because he was speaking in tongues. And a woman came and said, are you mad? And he went to the tongues of men and said, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Selfish prayers. Say, he's my member. We were in a church. And then this lady came to minister. I didn't really know her.
And she sang so beautifully that I think angels must have stopped singing when she started singing. She sang well. And this brother goes over to Reverend Dower. That's the pastor of the church I was in there. And he says, "Sir, Lord was speaking to me right there." "To what?" "That woman is my wife." No, sorry. He went to the woman. Sorry. And she said, "The Lord was speaking to me that you are my, that don't be troubled again. You are my wife. I know that I've heard the desire of your heart." I guess what the woman was singing, she cried. She said, "I've heard the desires of your heart. Now I'm the man." And he's saying this so with so much piousness. He's not smiling. He's looking more like Jeremiah lamenting. "So I'm the Lord." She said, "No problem. Let's go tell the pastor." So she takes him. Nice looking woman. He takes him to the pastor. And he said, "Reverend, this young man talks to me right now. Just tell him who I am." "So you're Reverend Mrs. So and so. You have how many children do you have?" "Say 3 kids. the youngest is in the 4th year in the university. Say God told him to marry me." Amen. If you pray the Pauline prayers, you will make some stupid mistakes. Pray the Pauline prayers. Just pray the Spirit inspired prayers. Don't pray prayers like, "Oh, God, what do you do? Father, I pray." If people start with the Pauline prayers, they won't be praying fire on people's heads. You know that those prayers are inspired of demons. Amen. One day I'm going to teach a series when demons pray. I'm sure it will create some uproar in the body of Christ. So I want to wait till I can take the heat before I do that. Still too young for that. But when demons pray, I'm going to take the heat. And you know, not now. Alright. Paul said to Timothy, he said, "The things that, you know, we've learned amongst many witnesses, commit on the faithful men." That means the will of God is not, 2 Timothy 2:2, is not mysterious. Something you can write. Something you can see. Alright. 1 Timothy 4:15, he says, "Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear unto all." There are things to meditate upon. Sometimes if we can just meditate upon the word, we'll be walking in the will of God. Romans 12:2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may approve." That word "approve" there means to recognize that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So when my mind is recognized in the word of God, I can recognize. The issue is to recognize. Know the will of God. It takes the will of God to recognize the will of God. Does that make sense to you? Alright. So you start to meditate. Now, avoid emergency prayer vigils. Emergency prayer vigils is when you have to pray through. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. No way you come to that. I don't know what to do. So you pray. Sometimes you don't have sackcloth and ashes. I'm praying. Those are emergency prayers. The Bible didn't say pray when you want to make a decision. The Bible didn't say pray when someone proposes to you, particularly at the cinema. I saw one video, and they're in the cinema, and the whole place is dark. The guy takes her out to watch a cinema movie, and they're watching the movie. She didn't know that the whole hall was set up. So the guy just, movie's about him, it's a love movie. The guy says, "Jane, will you marry me?" And she's still wondering, if the movie's not ended, then the light comes on.
And everybody said, go ahead. She looks around. She said, oh, my. And I said, fool. You could have just gone into the screen and joined the movie. What kind of reality show is that? You are. If you're a Christian, you're not crying. Thank you. You know that a Christian would say, stand up, boy. You don't start it, you don't pray. And I'm sure all those guys here don't start it and pray. Ain't that clear enough? Well, then you miss that, then you married, and the second year of your marriage, you have one prayer, and say, Father, touch his heart. Father, touch his heart. Don't let me pass through this. Emergency prayer vigil. You know, we all, everybody faces life's troubles, alright? But there are some troubles that are in degrees and dimensions. Some troubles, you don't have to have them. They were gently sitting on their own. You invited them into your life. Say, you know, I don't have enough troubles and persecutions. I need you to join. Alright? I need a trouble persecution from the wrong husband. Can you join? From the wrong wife. Can you join? From traveling to the wrong place. Can you join? We just need to be together. I know there are the persecutions and tribulations, but I don't, that's not enough. I want a double measure of what I have. You look for trouble. You already have enough trouble. Don't add to them. Is that clear? You have another trouble. So, you don't pray beyond the word. You pray. Don't go for emergency prayers. Bible says praying always. Maybe we can pray always. You know, if you pray always, you're not likely to be praying about problems every time. Luke 18:1. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Ephesians 6:18. You're just praying in the spirit. Praying the word. But if you have to pray because you're compelled to pray. I see people compelled to pray. When you see some prayer meetings, people are compelled to pray. Don't think that they're praying or making tremendous power available. No, they're just making tremendous grumbling available. Father! Oh God! You call the prayer meeting, we're going to pray for the nations of the world. And let's pray for the nations. But say, people, our prosperity has been tied down. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is over us. See, listen to me. Our Father said, you don't take small to connect the child from it. Oh yes! It is the eye that the other calls chooses. Prayer meeting. We are about to rain the heaven down. You say, hey, man. So you will not go to hell. You say, Father! You will see noise. That is not effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man. The man who prayed it, Elijah, did not have personal problem when he was praying it. It's not the prayer. you don't pray for anybody, pray for yourself, and you're shouting. You see what I'm saying? So, run away from emergency prayer vigils and pray the word. If we can just do the written word, have you prayed the Pauline prayers today? No, sir. But I prayed. I prayed that the Father should touch the heart of my MD. My MDO. Particularly, my line manager. So I said, God. The heart of kings are placed in your hand, Father. As the rivers of water is flowing that way, Father, turn it. You went to take prayer point from Solomon. You see your problem. The new covenant gives you prayer point. You went to Solomon. You went to David. Say, oh God. Hear my humble cry. How do you know he's humble? Because he called me humble. So, you need to pray the Pauline prayers. It's written. It's the will of God. That's the work plan. Is that clear? There's a work plan. Pray that.
Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate upon day and night, and observe to do all that is written, and you shall make your way prosperous and have good success. Is that clear enough?
Yes, sir.
Have good success. In renewing the mind, we exchange our thoughts for the word, our plans. How many of you know when you renew the mind, you knock down your thoughts? Let me know that. You knock down your thoughts. You knock down what you used to want to do. You knock down the way you see things. Some of us teach the word and we don't renew our minds by what we teach. If you're a teacher of God's word, let me say this. As you're studying to minister, alright, do two things. I learned this from Brother Higgin too. As you're preaching, alright, make sure you listen to what you're saying. Is that clear? Make sure you listen to what you're saying. You're not a signboard, okay? As you're preaching, as I'm preaching, I'm listening to myself. Listen to what you're saying. You should be your own audience. I thought I preached that somewhere. I preached that somewhere recently. Where was it? Huh? CBFC. All right. Be your first audience. Be your own audience. Listen to yourself. All right. This is the word. So, renewing the mind means you exchange your thoughts for the word. Your thoughts, the way you see things. I think I mentioned this last week, how we see people who don't have money. We still see them that way. How we see people who don't have money. We just treat them anyhow because you don't have money. Now that means your mind is not renewed. Right? Because you have a mindset problem. But it's not. I think myself, Pastor Lyon, was saying something. I was here on Tuesday, Monday. And we said, perception is really crazy. We said, human beings. We said, wow, human beings. You know, everybody respects the kind of car you drive. They look at you. Remember, one time I was passing somewhere, and I was in someone's car. He was trying to explain. The next time I went with my car, human beings. God said it's a man looks on the outward. So take care of the outward too. No sin to do that. If you're a businessman, you take care of the outward. So say, look at the heart. God looks at God. They say, no, I'll see your heart later. Can you leave? You know, so that's, so it takes a while to see your heart. You renew your mind and see things well. By the way, you exchange your thoughts. See, the Bible is filled with God's thoughts. So you take His thoughts, okay, and make them your thoughts. Casey Street said this one time, bless me. He said, a renewed mind, alright, automatically is led by the Spirit. A renewed mind, by the word, automatically is led by the Spirit. Because your mind is renewed. You can recognize easily what God says. Leave that too. Psalm 127 verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We have examined the word in vain. The word in vain, and we're going to do some study quickly. The word in vain simply means something that cannot be in eternity. I thought we saw that. Do you see that? Do you see that? That's why Solomon's vanity will always be vanity upon vanity, all his vanity. And I remember someone saying, well, don't mind Solomon, I want his vanity. And he said that right on the pulpit. And I said, some preachers are just loose the way they talk. Solomon said, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. Paul summarized that himself. He's not saying don't have cars or lands or houses, but he's saying don't build your life on them. That's all he said. Okay? So he says, except the Lord build a house, and he born vain that build it. Now, look at something Paul said in 1 Timothy 6. It caught my meditation earlier on. Thought about it so much. 1 Timothy 6 and 7. Paul, 1 Timothy 6 and 7, wants us to read that together. 1 Timothy 6 and 7, if you're there, say amen. If you're there, say amen. He said, for we brought nothing into this world. I felt funny because I thought I came to this world with talents. Come on, are you there? He says, for we brought nothing into this world. Then he says, no, we can bring nothing and go with something. But when he said you brought nothing into this world, and it is definite that we can carry nothing out. Just go for a funeral, that's clear. But I will go beyond that. The word brought is a word in the Greek, espero. E-S-P-H-E-R-O. You know the word espero. You ever saw espero before? Deu espero. Deu reza. Deu espero. My father bought Deu espero model to the house before it came out, because he was French. Deu. I took that car and I went to school and I said, you know what? My father is going to buy this car. And everybody was worshipping my Deu espero. A small car like this. My father never bought even a Deu reza. He just went to see it in Korea and came back with nothing. Okay. Now, what will mean to carry with you? In other words, it has to do with something that you put in a possession. He says you have nothing. That's quite serious. And he says the word nothing actually in the Greek is the word huden. And I checked the word huden. H-U-D-E-N. It's actually zero. It means zero. How do you know zero really is zero? You have zero. Oh, you came with zero, you go with zero. Now that's a bit disturbing, because how can you go with nothing? Well, these are terms used for earthly things. Earthly things, earthly accomplishment, earthly things, things of this earth, is used for the material. It is nothing. And he says you will exit with, because he said you will carry nothing out. That word, that's what you have the word E-X-E-N-E-N-K-E-I-N. Something like exenikian. It means you're going with nothing. That is, you will exit with nothing. In other words, you will leave the earth with nothing material and nothing earthly. Because you came with nothing. Earthly, nothing material. You came to this earth to meet the family. You came to this earth to meet, to be intelligent. You came to this earth to attend school. You came to this earth to attend, to have a degree. You came to this world to buy a car. And therefore, because you came to meet it here, alright, it doesn't count in eternity. Now, that's a bit disturbing. But I said to you, it's used for earthly things. Because in the discussion here, Paul, if you read verse 6, he's talking about gain. Gain. Earthly things, money, accomplishments, is used for the material. Now when it says you can, nothing in this world is relative to the immaterial. In other words, the material has no bearing outside this world. Let me say that again. The material things have no bearing at all. They have nothing, not a single influence. You know, somebody mischievously said this. He said, Abraham's boastful is because Abraham had money. I said, you mean so God also tripped by money? Then let's find someone else to worship. If he's tripped by money, he says, see Abraham's money. And God says, ha! God sees Abraham's money, or he sees Bill Gates' money, say, yeah, yeah, yeah. See signal, you know. God can say, ah, ah. God sees, when God sees your bank account, he says, ah, ah. Jesus never was acclaimed by, esteemed by anybody's will. Jesus only marveled at unbelief and faith. He said, ha! Sika, Rolls Royce. Told you before, you don't steal Rolls Royce. When are you going to sell it? There's some phones you don't steal. There's some phone like that, gold plated. $1 million. You just admire it. If your phone holds a $1 million phone, you just say, thank God for your life. If the phone is arrived in the middle of the expressway, you can't steal it. You have to return it. Because you can't use it. Amen. That's just a prophetic word. All right. God said, no talents, no gifts? Nope. No talents, no gifts. All right. What will count in eternity? Paul says, what did you build upon the foundation of Christ? 1 Corinthians 3:13 to 15. He said, did you build wood, hay, stubble, silver, or gold? On the revelation of Christ. You build on it. in 2 Corinthians 5. He says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I just quote 12 to 15. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. We must all appear before the bema seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things he has done in the body. So the immaterial will count. The immaterial, the things you did, not the things you owned. The things you did are immaterial. Many of us forget what we say to people. Many of us think that blessing other people, you know, speaking the word into people's lives, discipling people is immaterial. But those are the materialities of heaven. The words you said, the kind deeds you did, not the material. Those are the materialities of heaven. Things that really matter. Since those are the things that will count. We came with nothing. We're going with nothing, material things. But you will go back with the deeds that you did. That's why the Bible will tell you, in 1 Timothy 6, Paul is talking to the rich folks. He said, well, look, nothing is about your money. He said, you must communicate. When you communicate, that means you have good deeds. He said, what do you do? He said, 1 Timothy 6:19, install for yourself a good foundation against the time to come, that you may lay hold on eternal life. In Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, he said, if you sow to the flesh, verse 8, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you love the Spirit, reap life everlasting. That's what really matters. Things that last till eternity. And so I must be particular about the things I do. Not the things I own. Not the things I have become. Not who people say I am. I must be particular about what I accomplished for myself. No, the will of God is what we do with what Christ has done. What is written in the Word. I must not see human accomplishment. God's not in any way. He's not in any way. He's the blesser of all things. Permit my language. But he's not in any way. And sometimes, he's not in any way so moved and so dripped and so, you know. I was talking with a government official during the week, and we were talking about, we began to laugh. We said, many pastors who inspire their members to go for success the way they do, they don't know that there are so many landmines. So many landmines. A believer must be taught contentment. A believer must be taught lack of covetousness, self-control. And sometimes we pursue the same things unbelievers pursue, the way they pursue it. You wonder whether we have the Holy Spirit at all. You know, we can't do that. We need to have self-control. Whatever we do. So the same thing. You came with nothing, you go with nothing. But the things you did in the body of Christ. The things you've done. I told you last time, remember? I said, no matter how young you are, think about eternity. Can you remember that? No matter how young you are. You're moving closer, every inch closer, to the time you're going to give account. So you must think like that. Sometimes I look back on where we started, you know, and I say, well, looks like yesterday. It's not yesterday. Sometimes it's 20 years. Before you know, 20 years have come, and you're saying, wow, what have I done? I have 20 cars. I have 6 houses. One house in Cayman Island. I have this one. I have that one. And really, anybody can have that. It's about anybody. Nothing wrong in having things. But make sure those things don't have you. Amen? Make sure they don't have you. Nothing wrong in having a human degrees and humans. But don't make sure they don't control you. Some of us become so intellectually sound. I know guys who left this country, went to do PhDs, and they came back, began to question scriptures. And they're sick. Well, I think now I'm exposed to science. Now I'm exposed. I've been to UK. I live in the US. I'm not into all those African things. Religion is the opium of the masses. He allowed those things to control him. You must always have self-control. Whatever you came to this earth to meet must never rule you. You must always be in charge. And that goes into more things. You know, we said a couple of things that goes on to that. We said that, you know, following God's plan is called the place of purpose, pasture of purpose, the possession of purpose, and also the partnership of purpose. Again, notice this. I must talk about what we dealt with last week, relationship. And I said, you must do a relationship check. You don't need to see people before they influence you. Can you remember that? You just need to have them on your BlackBerry. You just need to have them on your Facebook. You don't need to see people for them to influence you. You just need to read what they say. Hear what they say. That's all. So you put a check on those things generally if you're going to, you know, stay off wrong relations. Now listen, you must be able to walk away from relationships that are not supernatural. Be able to walk away from them easily. You should have a sweat with that. And never try to make people feel good by not making them feel hurt. So today we'll just look at this quickly. You know, it won't take long now. Passion. Before I say that, try to do a relationship check oftentimes. You know, I do a medical checkup. Just run up, check. Is there somebody who is my friend that shouldn't be my friend again? You know, you can do that often. There's somebody on my Facebook, you know, or my BlackBerry. Let me see. No. Say, well, I just believe everybody should be my friend. Are you the devil? You don't say that, you know. Oh, you say, let me do it. I told you, they are professional friends, okay? Remember that? They are professional friends. You learn from professional friends. Amen. Professional friends. Some of them are Shintoists. I met a guy one time who said, I'm gay. I said, I'm not. Again, someone living in the flesh, because homosexuality is a sin. Oh, don't say that's how people will feel bad. Well, they're already bad. Make them feel what they are. So I'm gay, so I'm not. Praise God. I know you won't ask why. I should be able to ask you, why are you gay? Because that's the odd stuff out there. Praise God. Even animals know better. Okay. So you do relationship check. Oh, look at it. 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 You know, look at it. Check it again. Check it again. Sometimes you ask your friend, well, you can ask some of your friends today. Try to do this. I said, well, you've been my friend for the last 6 months. Please, what are you contributing to my spiritual life? Let me know. That's harsh. No, that just being real. What have you been contributing to my spiritual life? Well, last did you sit down with me and we share something we learned in church? Well, last did you ask me how many disciples I have? Well, last did you ask me about prayer life? Well, I assume you were praying already. Oh, that means you should not be my friend. Because you don't care about how I am spiritually. Listen, check. Or you say, I like your hair. That's what you tell me every Sunday. I like your hair. You're looking nice. What are you? A judge of beauty pageant? Now, you must be my friend to help me fulfill the will of God. The will of God is to grow spiritually. Is that true? The will of God is to grow spiritually. I can't marry someone who will help me grow spiritually. So that in your whole house, only one person is growing spiritually. Someone told me, say, I know I'm the head of my house naturally, but my wife's the head spiritually. And I kind of look at the wife and felt a great home. They're doing good. My wife is the head spiritually. She hears directly from God. She studies the Bible. She prays, I will have slaves. He said with all candor. Now I'm so young. And my dad is there, and I thought he's looking, if this boy should say something silly in this place. And I'm like, she said, yeah, she's nodding, she's a spiritual head, it's a coconut head. All right, the next thing I check my passion, what drives you the most? What drives you the most? Some people raise their voice when they're watching Chelsea, when they're praying, they whisper. They raise their voice. What drives you the most? What can you say takes control of your mind the most? If you allow God's word and the written will of God to drive you, then you will be in the will of God. Quickly. Notice this. You must be able to control your passion. Things you like. Things you want. There are people so crazy about traveling. I love you. Okay, don't let me say this because I'll be wrong on the call. You wanted to travel abroad at all costs. You dreamed of going abroad. And you went for different visa interviews. You prayed before you got in there. You confessed scripture and they said no. And you went, you anointed your passport. You know, somebody was anointed is a the application form. You put all in there. And they told you, say, you're a dirty person. You're a dirty. Why did you pour oil on your application form? Are you so daft? I just pour it on yourself. You are the one that will interview, not the form. Isn't that just simple? In case you believe in all those witchcraft stuff, you know. At least, you know, there are these two guys, they're using a handkerchief. They call it mantle. So he had prayed over the handkerchief, he's going for an interview. So as he sat down before the interviewer, he brings out his handkerchief and he does that. Blah, 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 blah. And then the other guy also was a member of his church. That one person said, you walk away. Cancel, you know what I mean? Alright, let's move on a little bit. Do you know that by the time you now go to the country, you don't feel like going there again? Because you're already there. You know when you get to the country, you don't want to travel there again. Because you're already there. You look at them, normal human beings. You know. Say, hello!
Hi.
He said, no, let me go to the U.S. Yeah. When I get to the U.S. Everybody says, you're welcome. We've been waiting for you since Christopher Columbus founded America. You come. No? Yes. Everybody just walks normally because people have been living there for years. He said, no, let me go to Iraq. So I said, on big old desire. Just. And so they plan their whole life around it. Whoever they're going to marry, they marry somebody who's about to travel. Do you want to travel? The guy said, I want to marry you. Do you want to travel? The guy said, I'm thinking about it. No. You have to want to travel before. I had friends who when they want to marry ladies, they said, well, before we say, we propose to ladies, they must be citizens of America or the UK. Or their passports don't just have their pictures. And then green stamps for Benin Republic, Ghana, and Cameroon. I'm sorry. So they've got to arrange for ladies. Ladies in that particular ministry gift. I asked one of them, I said, why in the world I did? He said, well, I believe my miss is international, so I must marry an international lady. I said, oh. And many folks are just like that. Overwhelmed with the passion to travel. I want to travel. When they open their Facebook, they see their friend, Mosura, UK. Mosura. Ah, oh God. Then you come to church, the pastor is teaching, in Christ reality, Joseph. That's what I've been hearing since I was in PDS. Adimo Sura is in US. What is driving you right now? What makes you make your decisions? You know, check it. Check what drives you. But it's God. Check what drives you. Luke 12:15. Jesus gave the story of this rich man, rich fool. The guy's got a name into eternity. Rich fool. What a name. Name above all names. Rich fool. He says, take heed and beware, 15, of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. If you can, let me write it down. If you can control your passion for things, you have achieved a lot for your spiritual life. If you can just control your passion for things. I told someone recently, close to me, I said, you lost this. And then you took control of your own emotions. Maybe you lost your phone, you can't sit. Ah, my phone! It's a BlackBerry Touch 20! Hey, when I was talking to you, say, good morning. Morning. So it's driving you. Yet, you miss a prayer meeting.
Aye?
And you're eating your donuts. I'll pray on Sunday. You see what's driving you? You are covetous. Things are driving you. But you just lost your phone or you lost 200K. Is that because you? Sanu, I want to talk to you about my spiritual life. Look, go and hear spiritual growth series. Eh? Please, Pastor, talk to us. Look, you talk to us that you can do the one on our DIY. Do it your own. Okay, bless you. Covetousness. You are looking crazy because you lost money. So let's call you. I learned you lost money. Thank you, my brother. You know what I mean? I won't trade you for silver. You are looking for change. You've done the same. You already completed the transaction. You've traded your duties. Jesus said, you know, beware of covetousness. That one, beware, is the word in the Greek. is the word phulasso, phulasso. It actually means keep rules and regulations. To deal with covetousness, you have to have rules. It's a word used by shepherds who kept vigilance over their sheep. You have to be vigilant over your mind. Tell yourself, say, shepherd, look, that's enough. Okay? That is enough. By the time you are crying over, that's enough. When last did you preach the gospel to someone? The person said, no, I'm not going to believe the gospel. And tears came out of your eyes. And you felt, look, Jesus Christ died for you. You say, you're going to hell. Eh? Okay? Eh? You walk away. But for natural things, or somebody you've loved or you've loved yourself calls you and says, it's over. Don't say this. No, wait. I'm sorry. It's not. It's over. It's over. Sweetheart, no, don't say this. You want to finish my life? It's over. Now, you got number. Permanently busy. Then Brother Beckley calls you. Look at his number. This man is not a man of the spirit at all. And I'm sure when he calls me, he'll be speaking something to me about ministering to people. Can't you open the mind and say, it is done. You say, busy! What's going on? They say, nothing, sir. Can't you open the mind and I told you, sir. I heard, sir. Sir, I'm going to do this right now. Can I call you back? No! No. Okay, sir. Covetousness. You understand? Covetousness. You better say, I make my devotion, Jesus. If I Jesus, you tell some people it's over, they'll say, hey, why now? You can't die in vain now. I know you will come back. Control your desires, alright? It says, covetousness is a word. It means a desire to have an advantage, an aggressive pursuit. Is a Greek word, pleonexia, P-L-E-O, pleonexia. It means a desire for an advantage, that's an aggressiveness to accomplish a task. It's used for natural things, an aggressiveness. You will do just anything and anyhow to get it done. Some of us are very hard working at work. You give all you can,
They give you a task. They say, you're an engineering team. They say, this is, you're the team leader. You get everything done. But when you come to prayer meetings, you don't want to pray to get it done. You don't, you just don't give the same passion. Because what drives you are things, men's motivations, and what they want. Are you still out there? You need to think about this. How close? God's will is about man. Christ came to die for man. Christ was buried for man. He rose for man. Lives for man. How many of Jesus lives for man? You know that? You need to live for man. I told you, God's purpose for your life is always tied to man. Wherever you are here tonight, know that. Ask yourself, who am I sent to that I don't go to? Who am I around for that I don't talk to? How many people am I sent to? All of us as believers, we're sent to people. All of us. I mean, if you're a Christian, you are sent to people. There are people that you have a mission, a work in their lives. Christ came to this world to save sinners. That's why he came. He left us in this world to do the same. Build your life around the plan. There's a work plan. Build your life around it. What drives you the most? What motivates you the most? Your revival. Let it not be things. Look at me, I love to have things. Do I want to have billions of dollars? Oh yeah. But I don't want billions of dollars to have me. So I lose my mind. I lose my friends. I lose supernatural relationships. I lose my walk with God. I lose my prayer life. Because of those things. If they come, great. If they don't, I'll still be fulfilled. Hallelujah. You get my point? They may come, and they may not come. The Bible says it's your food and raiment. You what? You continue. I'm always, you know, someone said, he said the greatest gifts in life, they require not a single dollar to give thanks for. I'm thankful that God has blessed me to be a blessing to others. I'm thankful for the words I've spoken to people. You know, someone today, she's recommending to someone, they had a problem in their family. And she said, I'm going to ask this person to see you. I said, why? She said, so and so period. You said this to us. You blessed us. And I'm thinking, oh, true. She said, I'm going to ask someone to come see you. Immaterial things. I didn't spend the time. I didn't have to be anything to do that. I just had to be a Christian. I always remember Ray Bowles' song. Always gets my attention. When I get to heaven, he said, and someone called my name. He said, you remember me in Sunday school when I was away. You asked Jesus to come into my heart. I mean, you preached the gospel. He said, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. It's because of what you did, that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Those are the things that you will carry with you at the end of your life. The greatest men don't have things. The greatest men have men. Hallelujah. Bow your heads and pray.